Good evening, everyone. Good evening. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you not on tape, not as a repeat, but live tonight from Washington, D.C. We've got a lot to talk about. I've been gone for the last 3 weeks to actually the other side of the world. If John McCain and Republicans steal this election, as we've seen the Republicans steal the last two presidential elections, 2000 and 2004, I do not plan to stay in the United States. And my reason for going abroad, specifically to the new Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal in the Himalayas, which replaced a 300-year-old monarchy, feudalist monarchy, a corrupt government, just about as corrupt as our own over the last 8 years. But that will be the place of exile for myself and the website and everything else I do in a way of journalism and politics. If the Republicans steal this election, it's game, set, and match in that case. It's time to get out. It's time to do something. It's time to regroup. Because under a McCain and Palin administration, this country will sink to even lower depths. And as I've told many people, and it's surprising coming from me, if McCain and Palin get in the White House, we'll all be pining for the good old days of George W. Bush and Dick Cheney, as hard as that may seem to be believed. These two, McCain and Palin, are totally in the clutches of the neocons and the extreme right wing in this country. And I would say it would be all over for this country, and it would not be a very pleasant place to live in a McCain and Palin administration. But anyway, we've got a lot to talk about this evening. The number, if you'd like to call into the program, is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. We're going to be covering on the Wayne Mattson Report the we're going to be covering the election night, Tuesday night. I'll be live blogging from the National Press Club, which is in Washington D.C., which is two blocks from the White House. Hopefully, we'll be picking up, as I picked up in 2004, early exit polls. Of course, every exit poll showed John Kerry winning key battleground states, which were then flipped to the Bush column, Bush winning that election handily and with 3 million popular votes across the country. Look, these guys are getting better at what they do, not worse, and that's my biggest fear. All the polls now are showing Obama ahead, but now we see something very interesting, something we actually saw in 2004. We're seeing reports that the election is tightening up. I mean, with the seismic shift in poll numbers towards McCain. Well, this is Zogby. He's a Republican pollster. He can't be trusted. Rasmussen can't be trusted. In other words, the Republicans have their own pollsters, and these pollsters put out absolute false polling data to try to confuse people, to try to make it look like there's a phony shift towards McCain. Anyway, we will be back after this break. This is the WMR Saturday Roundup. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report, the Saturday Roundup, coming to you tonight live from Washington, not on tape, as it has been over the last 3 weeks while I was in the Himalayas, looking for a suitable place of exile in case the Republicans steal another election, as they have done in the last two presidential elections. There's a lot of scenarios being batted forth. One thing I want to make mention of is that John McCain has predicted that he will win in a late-night decision in a very close election. Now, what gives John McCain that idea? Also, something else that's unusual. McCain's victory party, that's what he's calling it, is scheduled election night at the Phoenix Biltmore Hotel, Phoenix, Arizona. Unlike every other political candidate party, McCain will not be inside the ballroom where all of his supporters will be. He instead is going to hold a small news conference on the front lawn of the Biltmore with selected press pool people. I can tell you who they'll be. They'll be obviously the usual suspects from Fox News, CNN, and MSNBC, all owned by Republican operations, Time, AOL Time Warner, Republican operation, well, News Corp, and Rupert Murdoch, that goes without saying, and MSNBC is owned by a large defense contractor, General Electric. John McCain is going to be on the front lawn with a small group of pre-selected pool reporters and some of his closest friends and advisors. And right now he's saying he doesn't plan to go inside the ballroom. Well, here's my take on that. If this is a fixed election, they have to whisk John McCain out of there as soon as possible. They don't want him around a lot of people. We can all remember what happened in 1968 at the Ambassador Hotel in Los Angeles with Senator Bobby Kennedy after he won the California primary. They must be thinking about that. So they're going to whisk McCain away, and that's it. You'll not see this guy before the general public ever again, because he'll be their man. He'll be like Dick Cheney. You know, you'll see him every once in a while, but you'll hear more of Sarah Palin. We'll get to her later. She's really this Sarah Palin is starting to make Dan Quayle look intelligent, and I didn't think that was actually possible. But anyway, the Guardian newspaper has some interesting scenarios. They're saying, what happens if Obama wins all the states John Kerry won in 2004? That gives him 252 electoral votes. You need 270 to win. And say that Obama also picks up Iowa and New Mexico. But McCain wins Ohio and Florida, and Virginia and Colorado. Result, McCain wins 274 to 264. Okay, let's say that McCain pulls a Kerry-Gore state away, and all eyes are on Pennsylvania. That gives McCain 21 electoral votes. McCain could lose Virginia, where he's behind, and Colorado, but hold on to Ohio and Florida and win 273 to 265. I hope the polls are right. I hope that, you know, there's some polls that show that Obama could win with over 400 electoral votes. That'd be a landslide, in proportion to Lyndon Johnson's win over Goldwater in 64. But this thing, knowing the crooks that, you know, in the Republican Party, and where is Karl Rove right now? He's not in jail where he belongs. He's out, obviously, doing what he's always done. He's looking at these states right down to the county and precinct level, and he's obviously working for McCain to steal his election. Now, there's a lot of problems with vote flipping around the country. These electronic machines are still there. Why they haven't been deep-sixed by now is anyone's guess, but the companies that own these machines, that run these machines, are Republican operations for the most part, and they want to see McCain and Palin in. Here's something interesting. Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, as I said, is where Obama's ahead right now. Richmond City Hall was evacuated twice this past Thursday while people were in there early voting because of power outages. No storms in the area, but power outages. Are we going to see a lot of this on election night? So we're talking about Zogby showing a shift towards McCain, power outages, vote caging, vote flipping. Even Oprah Winfrey had her vote switch. She kept trying to vote for Obama, and apparently kept switching over to the McCain. You know, if it's going to happen to Oprah, obviously they wanted it to happen to Oprah because they know that she'll get the message out. But, you know, not to warn people that this election could be stolen, but to let people know, you know, whatever you do, we're going to steal it anyway. So Oprah, who's an ally of Obama from Chicago where he is, that's where her show is broadcast from. Very interesting that they picked Oprah to mess with her her attempt to vote for Obama. Anyway, it's going to be very, very interesting to see how this all unfolds. We've got a couple of clips I want to play. You know, McCain, the dementia in this of McCain is unbelievable. I mean, we know that Ronald Reagan suffered from Alzheimer's as in his second term. Some people suggest he had it in his first term, but McCain, I mean, is so much further gone than Ronald Reagan ever was. I mean, the guy is just pathetic. He belongs actually not in the White House. He belongs in a home. He belongs in a rest home, in a retirement home, one of those assisted care facilities for the very elderly and the infirmed. People that really don't know what they're talking about, who babble on about nonsense and can't take care of themselves. That's where he belongs, not in the White House. But anyway, we will try to get to these clips. We also have Sarah Palin being pranked phone call by two guys out of Montreal. One guy said, had Palin think that he was Nicolas Sarkozy, the French president. Of course, now we see how the neocons stick together, because Palin was all over this purported Sarkozy, saying how much she admired him, and it's pretty hilarious. Hopefully, we'll have time to play that for you this evening. It's actually worth a couple of laughs. Anyway, if we have time here, I want to play this one tape of McCain. We've all heard about this guy Joe the Plumber. This was a Republican plant. Joe the Plumber, you know, the guy's a Republican. He's a registered Republican. He's become a poster child for the McCain-Palin campaign. Let's listen to this clip. John McCain had him on the campaign trail, and then Joe the Plumber must have disappeared. He must have gone to have a beer somewhere, because McCain looks for Joe the Plumber in the crowd to introduce him, and Joe the Plumber isn't even there. That tells you about where the McCain campaign is going. If we can play this short clip of McCain.
You know, we've learned more about Senator Obama's real goals for our country over the last 2 weeks than we learned over the last 2 years. And that's only because Joe the Plumber asked him the right question right here in Ohio. That's when Senator Obama revealed he wants to, quote, spread the wealth around, spread your income around. Joe's with us today. Joe, where are you? Where is Joe? Is Joe here with us today? Joe, I thought you were here today. All right. Well, you're all Joe the Plumber, so all of you stand up and say, I thank you.
Oh, you're all Joe the Plumber. You're all Joe the Plumber. I mean, this guy is, McCain is, he's nuts. Where's Joe? Well, you know, Joe is obviously a you know, he's one of these, you know, he's a plant. And I don't know, maybe they're not paying him enough money, but Joe wasn't there where he was supposed to be when McCain called on him. So maybe they need to pay Joe the Plumber a little bit more money to be a shill for the McCain and Palin campaign. Pretty pathetic. The more you see of John McCain, the more you realize this guy, he shouldn't even be a U.S. senator, let alone president of the United States. He's really ill-serving the people of his state. And that's very interesting, too, because, again, if you can believe the polls, and I don't think we can believe the polls, because the polls, exit polls in 2004 showed Kerry winning with over 300 electoral votes. What happened? He lost the election. They flipped those key states. Iowa was flipped. Missouri was flipped, Florida was flipped, and we all know what happened in Ohio. That was the most egregious example of vote flipping and voter suppression. And we see voter suppression now around the country. A Republican operative in Spartanburg, South Carolina, tried to prevent a 74-year-old woman from voting. I mean, this is what the Republicans do. A 74-year-old woman, probably paid taxes her entire life, retired, but some punk Republican in South Carolina. I don't know if the woman he was trying to prevent from voting was an African-American woman or a white woman. It doesn't really matter. But it just goes to show that what these punk Republicans do to take it out on a 74-year-old woman. The poor woman was beside herself. She was in tears. You know, he said she wasn't eligible to vote. Well, of course, these Jim Crow Republicans don't think anyone's eligible to vote because in their country, women would still not be voting, and certainly African Americans wouldn't be voting. And they probably would make a rule there only if those who own large parcels of land could vote. This is what the Republican Party wants to turn this country back into. They are a travesty. I hope they get pounced on Election Day, but knowing full well what we saw in 2000 and 2004, I'm very fearful we're going to see the same thing play out again. Because the Republican Party is a criminal syndicate. They should not be able to call themselves a political party. But anyway, we shall see. I will be live blogging from Washington on Tuesday night on WayneMassReport.com. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup, coming to you live, not on tape as we have been, from Washington, D.C. I have to say that being in a very poor country like Nepal, but seeing a nation writing a new constitution, it's led by a Maoist government. Maoist. I mean, they're dropping the Maoist name, and names and labels in that part of the world are not what we would consider them to be here. Maoists would be like a Western European Communist Party. They have another communist party called Marxist-Leninist. That's a social democratic party, as you would find in any Scandinavian country. The labels are misleading in that part of the world. But to see a nation now coming together after a brutal civil war, getting rid of their corrupt king, talking about issues in the Constitution, in the proposed Constitution, animal rights. Now, of course, there's many Buddhists and there's Hindus, largely Hindu population in Nepal. 35,000 stray dogs in Kathmandu, the capital. They, unlike our country, they do not have dog pounds where these animals are sent to be euthanized. Look, some of these animals are in bad condition, but they're fed and they have a chance to live. They're talking about rights for the animals, for the dogs, the stray cats, the right to live. And in this country, we think we're civilized. How many animals do we put under, we have animal control officials? You know, these rich country club Republicans, they love their little tiny toy miniature dogs, the little yelpers. But the minute they see a stray animal, they're on the phone animal control. You know, they know what happens to these animals. So Nepal, as poor as this country is, they do believe, and they had a terrible civil war, took a large toll among the civilian population, but this new government is talking about animal rights. They're talking about press freedom. They're talking about all kinds of the freedoms that we've lost. Maoist, that's immaterial. All the parties are talking about these new guaranteed rights in their constitution, even for dogs and cats. This country's got a long way to go before it can even aspire to be a country like the new Nepal, as the people over there call it. If I had to live in exile away from a McCain, Palin fascist government, I've decided that is exactly the type of place that would be a great haven. Anyway, let's also talk about Ted Stevens. Ted Stevens, the senior Alaska senator, was convicted of 7 counts of fraud, all kinds of bribery, fraud. This guy, this curmudgeon, this crook, Ted Stevens, who's Sarah Palin's buddy from Alaska, Let's listen. He was confronted by a reporter of all from all places, Fox News, about his conviction. Just listen to this arrogant old codger and his reaction to being asked questions about his conviction. If we can play this.
Any reaction to the verdict?
I'll make my statement at home.
Are you going home to run for re-election?
Yes, I'm going home tomorrow.
There have been a number of people, and now your standard bearer, Senator John McCain, has called for your resignation.
I'll make my statement at home.
And do you think that you can be reelected at this point?
Absolutely.
Why would the people of Alaska elect you now?
Ask them. I know they will.
Well, there you have it. Ted Stevens, he actually said he hasn't been convicted of anything. Well, of course he was. He was convicted on 7 counts. He was taking bribes from oil company executives in Alaska, and the guy is going back to run for reelection. His Democratic opponent, if we have any listeners in Alaska right now, I don't know how this man can even think about running for reelection. Even John McCain, who's senile, called for Stevens to resign. Stevens is not resigning. He's going back. He's going to run against Anchorage Mayor Nick Begich, who I might add, his father, I should say Mark Begich, his father was killed in a plane crash along with Hale Boggs, Hale Boggs being one of the dissenting members of the Warren Commission. Very interesting story. But anyway, it's really just sad, very sad to see how Ted Stevens is just decided to hold on to this Senate seat. But I think it just goes to show the corruption of the Republican Party in Alaska. And who is their major standard bearer? Well, their governor, Sarah Palin, who's John McCain's running mate for vice president. So anyway, that's a situation. Ted Stevens is the guy, of course, who thought that the internet was a series of tubes. He's the guy who came up with the money, the earmark money for the Bridge to Nowhere. It looks like Senator Stevens' political career is a Bridge to Nowhere. Hopefully on election night, it'll be late because Alaska votes so much later than the rest of the country. Hopefully we'll be treated to a Stevens concession speech, or maybe not. Maybe he'll lose the election. He'll say, well, I didn't really lose the election. Like he said, well, I haven't been convicted of anything. Well, yeah, jury in Washington, D.C. convicted Ted Stevens. I think what he's talking about. Anyway, we'll get back to Ted Stevens right after this break. This is Wade Madsen from Washington, D.C.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Okay, welcome back. This is Wade Madsen with the Wade Madsen Report. This Saturday Roundup coming to you live tonight from Washington, D.C. After our three-week hiatus spent in the Himalayas, which I have to say are really breathtaking when you see them in, you know, you see them even from far away, let alone up close. I also have to say that the world's tallest mountain, Mount Everest, is not the most beautiful one. There are many, many beautiful snow-capped mountains. Everest is actually a rather ugly-looking a mountain. It looks like a pyramid, and it doesn't have a lot of snow on it. It just looks like somebody put a big monolith there. It gets a lot of hype, and the locals know it. But it also brings tourists, and it brings mountain climbers, and that brings much-needed revenue to what is an extremely poor country, but a country that has a tremendous future, I have to say. There's a lot of potential in Nepal. landlocked country, which could really turn out to be the Switzerland of Asia, much like Switzerland has benefited as a sort of neutral country, attracting all kinds of financial investments in Europe. Anyway, back to the election. The McCain campaign and McCain-Palin campaign got a really tremendous boost today from a very seedy character. Dick Cheney in Wyoming endorsed McCain and Palin. This guy, you can't see it's on YouTube. If you see the video, this guy is very, very ill. I mean, I don't know if he's actually dead or not. I mean, it could be a Weekend at Bernie's deal with Dick Cheney. He may have actually died, and they just move his carcass around and do the Disney animatronics coming from his potty. But let's listen to Dick Cheney give this real rousing endorsement speaking in Wyoming. And why they have Dick Cheney in Wyoming is anyone's guess. If Wyoming could be in play, and a Democratic candidate may pick up Cheney's old House seat, so he's probably there to prevent that from happening. That'd be embarrassing. Anyway, let's listen to Dick Cheney's rousing endorsement of McCain and Palin.
In these decisive years, we've seen above all the importance that leadership can make by making a decision and setting a course and putting the interest of the nation ahead of any partisan agenda or personal advantage. Our nation's been fortunate to have that kind of leadership when we've needed it most. And in 3 days, we'll choose a new steward for the presidency and begin a new chapter in our history. It's the biggest decision that we make together as Americans. A lot turns on the outcome. I believe the right leader for this moment in history is Senator John McCain. John is a man who understands the danger facing America. He's a man who has looked into the face of evil and not flinched. He's a man who's comfortable with responsibility and has been since he joined the armed forces at the age of 17. He's earned our support and confidence, and the time is now to make him commander-in-chief. I'm delighted to support John McCain, and I'm pleased that he's chosen a running mate with executive talent, toughness, and common sense, our next vice president, Sarah Palin.
You know, Dick Cheney talking about partisan politics. I mean, this has been the most partisan person that ever existed in inside the White House. This guy has a lot of nerve. Dick Cheney belongs in prison, preferably one that's not tainted by Bush-appointed federal judges. He should be in The Hague. He should be on trial for war crimes, but for him to suggest that, you know, he talks about this partisanship, and I mean, the guy is just, he's absolutely awful. But you can see how the neocons stick together. You know, when Dick Cheney starts this, that McCain looked evil in the eye. What's he talking about? Is he talking about his North Vietnamese captors? Well, Dick Cheney got 5 draft deferments. He couldn't find Vietnam on a map back in those days, but because he said he had other priorities. Other priorities for Dick Cheney was, of course, working in the oil industry in Wyoming, running for the Congress, and working for Richard Nixon and Gerald Ford. But anyway, that's Dick Cheney for you. Good riddance, Dick. We hope we never see you again, except when you're in the dock in The Hague, standing trial in the same spot where Slobodan Milosevic, all the Bosnian and Serbian and Croatian war criminals, where they all stood trial. Hopefully you will be in the same place, and they'll throw you in a prison cell, and we'll never see your face ever again. And that the Cheney family will be forever disgraced. That's what I hope for you, Dick Cheney. You are a disgrace. You are a war criminal. You should have never been allowed to step foot inside that White House. But because of stolen elections, you did. And you deserve Dick Cheney. You deserve John McCain as much as John McCain deserves you. Now, he also, Cheney talks about Sarah Palin being this great running mate. Sarah Palin obviously thinks the U.S. is at war with Iran. Let's listen to this complete bimbo, this idiot, Sarah Palin, what she had to say in answering a question. That's why they don't really want her near reporters. Let's listen to this short clip of Sarah Palin.
And we talk a lot about, okay, we're confident that we're going to win on Tuesday. So from there, those first 100 days, how are we going to kick in the plan that will get this economy back on the right track and really shore up the strategies that we need over in Iraq and Iran to win these wars? Now, today.
What strategies to win the wars in Iran? I didn't know we were at war with Iran. Maybe this idiot Palin is actually has been briefed by her neocon handlers, her puppet masters, about a war with Iran, and she's such an idiot, she thinks we're already at war with Iran. Guaranteed, though, if these people get in the White House, we will be in a war with Iran, because John McCain, Sarah Palin take their orders from people like Benjamin Netanyahu, who may wind up as the next Israeli prime minister. You know, these Likudniks, these Zionists, these are the people that issue their orders. And I notice a lot of people on the left are saying, oh, you know, the Israel lobby is being overblown. Hey, you guys on the left, you're paid by the Israel lobby. You know, that dog don't hunt. We know who runs you. We know you take your money from George Soros. Unfortunately, George Soros has given a lot of money to the Obama campaign. In my perfect world, Obama will win this election with a landslide and tell George Soros, Rahm Emanuel, and all these other Israel firsters to take a hike, get out. Thanks for the help. But, you know, you try to throw a wedge between me and Reverend Jeremiah Wright and all my longtime friends. Hey, they're going to be in my kitchen cabinet. Soros, take a hike. In a perfect world, that's what I'd like to see happen. But probably not. Probably won't happen, because Obama, of course, is a politician just like everyone else. I mean, he's very much a cut above the people the Republican Party have. But nothing is a panacea, of course, in this capital city any longer. Let's also got to listen to this. Talk about Sarah Palin. You got to listen to her being pranked by now. These two guys in Montreal, the radio shock jocks, and they've called Sarkozy. I think they once got a call through to the Pope, the last Pope, John Paul II. But they're always making people think that they're some world leader, and they basically punk another world leader, and they got into Sarah Palin. You got to listen. This is pretty hilarious. And Sarah Palin, she's just effusive in her praise of Sarkozy, who she knows is another neocon, because, you know, her handlers told her, you got to like Sarkozy. Yes, he's French, but you got to like him. Let's listen to this clip. It's pretty hilarious. These two guys deserve a lot of credit.
This is Bexy.
Hello, Bexy.
Hi.
Hi, this is Franck Louvrier. I'm with President Sarkozy on the line for Governor Palin.
Yes, one second, please. Can you hold on one second, please?
Yeah, no problem.
All right, thanks. Okay. Hi, I'm going to hand the phone over to her.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm going to put the president on the line.
Okay, he's coming to the line. Okay. This is Sarah.
Governor Palin.
Hello.
Just hold on for President Sarkozy. One moment.
Oh, not him yet, Betsy. I always do that.
Yes, hello, Governor Palin.
I'll just have people hand it.
Yes. Yes, hello, Mrs. Governor.
Hello, this is Sarah. How are you?
Fine, and you? This is Nicolas Sarkozy speaking. How are you?
Oh, so good. It's so good to hear you. Thank you for calling us.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Thank you, sir. We have such great respect for you, John McCain and I. We love you, and thank you for 2 minutes to talk to me.
I followed your campaigns closely with my special American advisor, Johnny Hallyday, you know?
Yes, good.
Excellent. Are you confident?
Very confident, and we're thankful that polls are showing that the race is tightening. And
well, I know very well that the campaign can be exhausting. How do you feel right now, my dear?
I feel so good. I feel like we're in a marathon, and at the very end of the marathon, you get your second wind, and you plow through the finish.
You see, I got elected in France because I'm real, and you seem to be someone who's real as well.
Yes, yeah. Nicholas, we so appreciate this opportunity.
You know, I see you as a president one day, you too.
Maybe in 8 years.
Well, I hope for you. You know, we have a lot in common because personally, one of my favorite activities is to hunt, too.
Oh, very good. We should go hunting together.
Exactly. We could go try hunting by helicopter like you did. I never did that. Like we say in French, on pourrait tuer des bébés phoques aussi.
Well, I think we could have a lot of fun together as we're getting work done. We can kill two birds with one stone that way.
I just love killing those animals. Mm-mm. Take away a life. That is so fun. I'd really love to go as long as we don't bring Vice President Cheney.
No, I'll be a careful shot. Yes.
Yes. You know, we have a lot in common also because except that from my house, I can see Belgium. That's kind of less interesting than you.
Well, see, we're right next door to other countries that we all need to be working with, yes.
Some people said in the last days, and I thought that was mean, that you weren't experienced enough in foreign relations. And, you know, that's completely false. That's the thing I said to my great friend, the Prime Minister of Canada, Steph Kars.
Well, he's doing fine, too. And, yeah, when you come into a position underestimated, it gives you an opportunity to prove the pundits and the critics wrong. You work that much harder.
I was wondering, because you are so next to him, one of my good friends, also the Prime Minister of Quebec, Mr. Richard Z. Sirois, have you met him recently? Did he come to one of your rallies?
I haven't seen him at one of the rallies, but it's been great working with the Canadian officials in my role as governor. We have a great cooperative effort there as we work on all of our resource development projects. You know, I look forward to working with you and getting to meet you personally and your beautiful wife. Oh, my goodness. You've added a lot of energy to your country, even with that beautiful family of yours.
Thank you very much. You know, my wife, Carla, would love to meet you. You know, even though she was a bit jealous that I was supposed to speak to you today.
Well, give her a big hug from me.
You know, my wife is a popular singer and a former hot top model, and she's so hot in bed. She even wrote a song for you.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know that.
Yes. In French, it's called Du Rouge à Lèvres sur une cochonne, or if you prefer in English, Joe the Plumber. It's his life, Joe the Plumber.
Maybe she understands some of the unfair criticism, but I bet you she is such a hard worker, too, and she realizes you just plow through that criticism.
I just want to be sure. I don't quite understand the phenomenon Joe the Plumber. That's not your husband, right?
That's not my husband, but he's a normal American who just works hard and doesn't want government to take his money.
Yes, yes, I understand. We have the equivalent of Joe the Plumber in France. It's called Marcel, the guy with bread under his armpit.
Right, that's what it's all about. It's the middle class and government needing to work for them. You're a very good example for us here.
I seen a bit about NBC. Even Fox News wasn't an ally, about as much as usual.
Yeah, that's what we're up against.
I must say, Governor Palin, I love the documentary they made on your life. You know, Hustlers Nailing Palin?
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes.
That was really edgy.
Well, good.
I really loved you. And I must say something also, Governor. You've been pranked by the Masked Avengers. We are two comedians from Montreal.
Oh, have we been pranked? And what radio station is this?
This is for CKOI in Montreal.
In Montreal? Tell me their radio station call letters.
CK... Hello? If one voice can change the world for Obama, one Viagra can change the world for McCain.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I have to let you go. Thank you.
Yeah! Well,
there you have it. Now, Sarah Palin had no idea she was. This guy gave her the name of a prime minister of Canada. It was a false name. A false name of the prime minister, premier of Quebec. It was a false name. He said that he could see Belgium from through his rear end. And he said, you know, he had all these lines and this. Palin was just she thought the guy was on the level. Absolutely incredible. It gives you the idea that and then Palin had the nerve to say that maybe she'll run for president in 8 years? I mean, on what planet? This is the only question you have to ask. But it's incredible, really. I think that clip of her being subjected to the prank phone call from those Montreal shock jocks just goes to show that she's not cut out for anything. And now we have people like Lawrence Eagleburger, former Republican Secretary of State, stating that she's not ready for prime time. She can't handle foreign policy. She has no experience. We've got a caller here, Paul from Delaware. Let's get you in, Paul, before we have a break here.
How you doing, sir?
Hi, how are you?
Two things. First of all, I hope that I'd really like to see Ron Paul in, but if I had to choose between Obama and Palin or and McCain, I would have to say that even though the people want to see Obama, which is ridiculous, because they think that he's going to do so much for them, and they don't know a darn thing about this guy. But what I wanted to say is we've got a lot of people we've got to be concerned about. And
Paul, if you can hold on, we're up against a break. We'll come back to you right after this short break. Hold on with us here. Okay, welcome back. This is Wayne Mattson with the Wayne Mattson Report Saturday Roundup, coming to you from Washington, D.C. We have Paul on the line with us from Delaware. Paul, if you're still with us, go ahead. Let's get back to you. You were talking about Obama before our break.
Okay, now, there's a lot of people that are for Obama, and basically why they're for Obama is because they don't want no more of the same, because even the dumbest among us, which the majority of them are, unfortunately, I hate to say that, but it's the truth.
Right.
They understand that, you know, something, at least they know that something is off here. But the thing is, they're going for this Obama guy, and unfortunately, he's not being very specific, but he sounds very good. But one more time, it doesn't matter if he's talking about the economy or how he's going to cut taxes or even, you know, if you go back to we need to reduce the deficit. What's his name? Perot.
Oh, Ross Perot, right.
Yeah, if you go back to him, I mean, if you remember him, remember when did his infomercial? He actually got down to the mathematics, and he said, well, here's how we're going to do this. Here's exactly how we're going to do that.
And he had the charts. He had the charts to show the people who might not have understood the verbiage. He had the charts to show them, you know, through pictographs what he was talking about.
Yeah. How he was going to accomplish this. Now, with Obama, you just got to take him at his word. He doesn't get very specific, even though sometimes certain things sound like he's being specific. But really, he's not. And the bottom line is the people are going to believe the key word, just like his campaign slogan, change that we can believe in. And unfortunately, sir, you're talking to a 14-year researcher. And what I've uncovered as far as getting to the results of what we're dealing with is the fact that too many people believe what they want to believe, and they deny what they feel like denying. And
right.
So my point is denial is just not for alcoholics and drug addicts, but denial is happening across this nation, thinking that, you know, just on Obama's word that certain things are going to happen. And all I can tell you is if you listen to him, listen to him in these last 3 days, you're going to hear him say that you're willing to make the sacrifice for your children. That translates into during my administration, nothing's going to be better, but it's all for the children.
Well, I agree. I agree. And this has been a campaign of generalities. And, you know, it's an awful lot like if I remember 1980, you know, there was this malaise. Jimmy Carter got in all this, and Ronald Reagan came along. He wasn't very specific, but remember he was an actor. He had a good delivery line, right? And he was not very specific at anything. And I think we're seeing the same type of, you know, mass appeal that we saw, you know, for Reagan.
And if you look at, you're talking about actors. I don't know if you remember Clinton, but did you remember when Clinton had gotten an Oscar? And the only person I've seen as charismatic as Bill Clinton, here in recent time is this Obama guy. And I got to tell you that Clinton is, you know, I've seen Clinton palling around giving this guy the thumbs up. And anyone Clinton is giving the thumbs up to, you know, we're in some serious problems. I mean, it's not saying that Palin is better, but what I see is this. So much of the majority, even though the polls are getting fairly close now within a couple of percentages, even though the polls are getting close, people still feel like Obama should be the president. And
Yes. Well, Paul, we're up against the end of the hour, but thanks for your comment and your phone call. We will be, as I said, live blogging election night, waymassreport.com. Join us. And we will be with you with the results of the election this time next week.